The National Broadcasting Company presents Great Plays. As the year nears its term, the National Broadcasting Company brings you, the loyal listeners to the Great Plays series, the 12th play in the 4th series. Last week, you were able to hear two nativity plays, plays of the Christmas season taken from the literature of centuries ago. The spirit of Christmas is still with us today, and its influence is felt on every land. From the work of John Galsworthy, the great English playwright, we offer The Pigeon, first presented in London at the Royalty Theatre in 1912. Galsworthy himself refers to it as merely a fantasy. Others have called it a modern Christmas carol. We are particularly fortunate today in having in our cast three who were personally associated with the author, John Galsworthy. Foremost is Mr. Whitford Kane, whom Mr. Galsworthy personally selected to play the title role in The Pigeon, and whom he had in mind as he was writing it. And then you might say, Mr. Kane, that this play, The Pigeon, was written for you.
No, I think not. Mr. Galsworthy didn't write for any particular actor, you know. He was a philosopher and not a playwright in the mechanical sense. In all of his plays, he had a very definite message. And his exceptionally fine sense of characterization was, to my mind, his greatest virtue. No, in his selection of me to play the part of Welland and The Pigeon, I think he had more in mind that I might be able to understand the shadings of the character rather than that the character would fit me.
Well, you opened in this play in London.
Yes, at the time Mr. Galsworthy was writing The Pigeon, I was playing the part of David Roberts in the production of his play Strife. I left this to open at the Royal Theatre in London as well in The Pigeon on January 30th, 1912. I won't forget that date. It's my birthday.
I don't think you should. You knew Mr. Galsworthy well?
Well, my association with him began in 1909 and continued until his death in 1933. I've appeared in most of his plays, both in England and in the United States.
Well, thank you, Mr. Kane, and we feel that we're indeed fortunate to have you with us today to portray the part you originated. Another of our cast today is Mr. Horace Braham. You too, Mr. Braham, knew Mr. Galsworthy?
Yes, very well indeed. I've appeared in many of his productions. Justice, The Mob, The Silver Box. Incidentally, I played many of the parts in our production today, The Pigeon. Mr. Galsworthy used to attend most of the rehearsals of his new plays, and about a week before we were to open, he would always ask all the women in the cast to wear their stage costumes every day at rehearsal.
But didn't that make them look slightly worn when it came to the opening night?
Well, that was precisely the point. Mr. Galsworthy said that when a woman is wearing a new dress for the first time, it not only looks like a new dress, but that the wearer is also conscious that it looks like a new dress. It was attention to such little things that made for the complete artistry of his characterizations.
Thank you, Mr. Braham. And now we introduce Miss Phoebe Mackay. You also knew Mr. Galsworthy, Miss Mackay?
Yes. I knew both Mr. and Mrs. Galsworthy. And my fondest recollections of them, it is of their complete courtesy, of their graciousness, and their kindness. I remember distinctly one Sunday afternoon, I had been invited to high tea at their home in Hammersmith. The scones were delicious. And I said so. Immediately, Mr. Galsworthy invited his cook into the living room, where we were all seated, and as a member of the family, asked her to sit and have tea with us. It was a lovely gesture. She was as delightful as her scones were good. Yes, Mr. Galsworthy was a kind man, an understanding man. Otherwise, he could never have written such great plays.
Thank you, Miss Mackay. We return now to the play, The Pigeon, by John Galsworthy. Meet three charming derelicts who come on Christmas Eve to seek shelter with the most impractical human being, a very public-spirited artist, one Christopher Whelan.
Daddy?
My dear?
You say you liked Professor Calway's lecture tonight. Is it going to do you any good? That's the question.
I hope so, Anne.
I took you on purpose. Your charity's getting simply awful. Those two today cleared out all my housekeeping money.
I quite understand your feeling, but you know, Anne, this is Christmas Eve.
Well, they both had your card, so I couldn't refuse. I didn't know what you'd said to them. Why don't you make it a rule never to give your card to anyone except really decent people and picture dealers, of course?
My dear, I have often.
Then why don't you keep it? It's a frightful habit. You are naughty, Daddy. You know, one of these days you'll get yourself in most fearful complications.
But, my dear, when they look at you...
But you know the house wants all sorts of things. Well, why do you speak to them at all?
I don't. They speak to me.
They see you coming. Anybody can see you coming, Daddy.
Oh.
That's why you ought to be so careful. I shall make you wear a hard hat.
Oh.
Those squashy hats of yours are hopelessly ineffective.
You know, Anne, I admire that fellow Calloway. Wonderful power of theory. How a man can be so absolutely tidy in his mind. It's most exciting.
Has anyone begged of you today?
Oh, no, I don't think.
Will you have rum in your tea?
Yes, my dear, a good deal.
Well, who was it?
He didn't beg of me. Interesting old creature, Anne. A real type. An old cabman.
Where?
Just on the embankment.
Of course. Daddy, you know the embankment ones are always rotten.
Yes, my dear, but this wasn't.
Did you give him your card?
I don't think...
Did you, Daddy?
Well, I'm rather afraid I may have, Anne.
May have? Oh, Daddy, it's simply immoral.
Well, the old fellow's so awfully human, Anne. Besides, I didn't give him any money. Hadn't got any.
Look here, Daddy. Did you ever ask anybody for anything?
Well, I...
You know you never did. You'd starve first. Well, so would anybody decent. Then why won't you see that people who beg are rotters?
But, my dear, we're not all the same. They wouldn't do it if it wasn't natural to them. And one likes to be friendly. Now, what's the use of being alive if one isn't?
Oh, Daddy, you're hopeless.
Well, look here, Anne. The whole thing's so jolly complicated. According to Calway, we're to give the state all we can spare to make the undeserving deserving. And he's a professor and he ought to know. But old Huxton's always dinning it into me that we ought to support private organizations for helping the deserving and damn the undeserving. Well, that's just the opposite. And he's a justice of the peace. Tremendous experience. Well, my trouble is, whichever I'm with, he always converts me.
Oh, Daddy, don't you know that you're the despair of all social reformers? There's a tear in the left knee of your trousers.
Oh.
You're not to wear them again.
Now, am I likely to wear?
I shouldn't be a bit surprised if it isn't your only pair. Do you know what I live in terror of?
No.
That you'll take them off someday and give them away in the street.
Oh, give them away in the street.
Have you got any money? Do you know that your pockets are just one enormous hole?
No.
Spiritually,
oh,
I mean.
Oh, spiritually, yes.
Now, look here, Daddy. Don't imagine that it isn't the most disgusting luxury on your part to go giving away things as you do. Do you know what you really are, I suppose? A sickly sentimentalist.
It isn't sentiment. It's simply that they seem to me so jolly. And if I'm to give up feeling a sort of nice about people, then I don't know what I'm to do. I'll have to sit with my head in a bag.
And I think you ought to. Well, I'm going to bed. I just leave you to your conscience.
Oh, Anne, you can't leave me like
that. Good night. You old daddy.
I'm a bad lot. A low type. No backbone. No stability. Oh, dear. I can't, you know. It's impossible. Let's see. I don't know you, do I?
Mrs. Megan, you give me this.
Oh, did I?
Yes. You had some violets off me last spring, and you give me half a crown, sir.
Well, come in just for a minute.
Thank you, sir.
It's very cold, and tell us what it is. I don't remember you. Oh, yes, I do. Only you weren't the same, were you?
I've seen trouble since.
Trouble? Have some tea.
Thank you, sir.
A little rum?
Oh.
Keeps the cold out. Here you are, now. Drink it off.
I wouldn't have come, but you told me if I wanted an end.
Now, let me see. It was the corner of Flight Street, wasn't it?
Yes, and I told you about my violets. Oh, it was a lovely spring day.
Beautiful, beautiful. The birds singing, the trees, etc. We'd quite a talk. And you had a baby with you.
Yes, and I got married since then.
Oh, yes. And how's the baby?
I lost her.
Oh, poor.
You said something about making a picture of me, sir, so I thought I might come in case you'd forgot.
Things are going badly,
eh? Well, I keep me violets covered up if the cold gets to them. Threepence. That's all I've took.
Oh, Christmas, too.
Yes, they're dead.
Got a good husband?
He plays cards.
Oh, Lord, what are you doing out with a cool like that?
Well, we were sold up this morning. He's gone off with his mates. Haven't took enough yet for a night's lodging.
How old are you, my child?
19, come Candlemas.
And what's your name?
Guinevere.
What, Welsh?
Yes, from Battersea. Yeah.
And your husband?
No, Irish he is, not entirely comes from, sir.
And how old is he, this young man of yours?
He'll be 20 soon, sir.
Babes in the woods. Does he treat you badly?
No.
Nor drink?
No, he's not a bad un. Only he gets playing cards. Then he'll fly the kite.
I see. And when he's not flying it, what does he do?
Same as me. Other jobs tires him.
That's very nice, love. Well, now, what am I to do with you? Now, how can I? You see, the fact is, I mustn't give you anything because, well, for one thing, I haven't got it.
Oh.
But there's a little room where my models dress. I wonder could you sleep there? Come and see it.
Oh.
Will it do?
Oh, thank you, sir.
Then, have a good sleep, child. Forget that you're alive. Oh, done it again. Well, what could I have done on a night like this?
Oh! Pardon, monsieur. You do not remember me? My name is Ferrand. It was in Paris, in the Champs-Élysées, by the fountain. You remember? Tenez, here is your card. I've never lost it.
Yes, by the fountain. I was sitting there, and you came and ate a roll and drank the water.
My breakfast. I was in poverty, very bad off. And you gave me 10 francs. I thought I had a little, the right, seeing you said that if I came to England.
So you've come.
Yes.
We talked philosophy, as I remember.
I have not yet changed my opinion. We other vagabonds, we are exploited by the bourgeois. This is always my idea, monsieur.
Yes, not quite the general view, perhaps. Well, I'm very glad to see you again.
Oh, monsieur, you're very good. I'm a little weak. You see, I tighten my belt one hole for each meal during 2 days now. That gives you courage.
Have some of this tea. It'll buck you up.
Oh, merci. Sometimes I think that I will never succeed to dominate my life, monsieur. Although I have no vices. Except that I guard always the aspiration to achieve success. But I was born to roll, monsieur. Rolling stone.
Here now. Have a drink of this.
Thank you, monsieur.
Yes, I remember you. You found it difficult to stay long in any particular...
One little corner. Oh, no, monsieur, never. That's not in my character. I must see life.
Quite. Have some of this cake.
In your country, they say you cannot eat the cake and have it. But one must always try, monsieur. One must never be content.
Here you are.
Grand merci, no, not for the moment. I have no stomach. I've lost my stomach now for 2 days. If I could smoke, monsieur?
Rather. There's tobacco. Roll yourself one.
Ah, merci. If I had not found you, monsieur, I would have been a little old in the river tonight. I was so discouraged.
Oh.
Life. And to think that in a few minutes he will be born. Monsieur, the world would reproach you for your goodness to me.
Oh, you think so?
Hmm? Monsieur, if he himself were on earth now, there'd be a little heap of gentlemen writing to the journals every day who called him sloppy sentimentalist. And what's very funny, these gentlemen, they would all be most strong Christians.
Oh, are you in pain?
Yes, I... little rheumatism.
Wet through, of course. Now, wait a bit. I wonder if you'd like these trousers I've on.
Oh, but, monsieur, I...
They're not quite... Yes. Now, if you can make these do for the moment, I can wear this robe.
Je vous remercie, monsieur. May I retire behind the screen?
Yes. Good Lord.
Who's that? Who are you?
Happy to see you, Governor. We had a talk this morning. Timson.
I'll give you my name. You invited of me, if you remember.
Well, it's a little late, really, no?
Well, you see, I never expected to have to call on you. I was hitched up all right when I spoke to you this morning. But being Christmas, things have took a turn with me today. I'm regular disgusted. Ain't got the price of a bed about me. Thought you wouldn't like me to be delicate. Not at my age.
Well, the fact is, it so happens I haven't a copper on me now.
I wouldn't ask you if I couldn't help it. Had to do with horses all my life. It's this here cold I'm frightened of. Afraid I'll go to sleep.
Well, really, I
had to be froze to death. What I means, it's a little awkward, ain't it?
Well, come in and let's think it out. Have some of this tea.
Thank you, Gibney.
Here you are.
Your health. Here's sobriety. Oh, blimey. There's rum in it.
Oh, monsieur. I now have the weak want to make face against the world. Huh?
Yes, we have another visitor.
Oh, too much from the bottle, no?
I'm afraid so.
It's an old cabbie, is it not, monsieur? Ce sont tous des buveurs.
Now, my old friend, now sit down a moment, over here.
That's it. There now, sit down. Matt,
will you smoke?
Thank you, Gabney. We'll have a pipe of tobacco. Old horse, standing about in the cold.
Oh. Il est parti.
He hasn't really left the horse outside, do you think?
Oh, no, monsieur, no horse. He's dreaming. I know very well that state of him that catches you sometimes. It's the warmth, sudden on the stomach. He will speak no more sense tonight. At the most, drink and fly a little in his past.
Poor old buffalo.
Touching, is it not, monsieur? The old cabbies? Ah, they have philosophy. That comes from horses and from sitting still.
He's drenched.
Oh, that will do him no harm, monsieur. No harm at all. He's well wet inside, remember? And it's Christmas tomorrow. Give him a rug, if you will. He will soon steal.
Yes, here you are now there. Help yourself up. That's right.
That's right. Put the rug on the old horse.
But what's to be done with him? One can't turn him out in this state.
Well, if you wish to leave him here, monsieur, I have no fear. I charge myself with him.
Oh, well, I really don't know. I haven't contemplated. You think you could manage if I went to bed?
Oh, certainly, monsieur.
Well, I don't know what I can do by staying.
There's nothing you can do, monsieur, nothing. Have confidence in me.
Well, keep the fire up quietly, very quietly.
Yes, I will.
Oh, and you'd better take this coat of mine, too. You'll find it precious cold, I expect, about 3 o'clock.
I shall sleep in it, praying for you, monsieur.
Thanks. Well, good night, good night. Oh, by the way, I shall be down rather early. Have to think of my household a bit, you know.
Très bien, monsieur. I comprehend. One must be regular in his life.
Lord! I had forgotten about the girl in there.
Can I undertake anything, sir?
Oh, no.
Très bien. Merci, monsieur. Bonsoir, monsieur.
Well, good night. Good night. Good night.
Poor pigeon. Espèce de type anglais. Pardon, mademoiselle.
Oh.
All right. We are brave gens.
Hold up there.
Trust in me, mademoiselle. We must be good comrades. This asylum, it is better than it does house, no?
You frighten me.
Blasted foreigners.
Pay no attention, mademoiselle. He's a philosopher.
Oh, I thought he was boozed.
It's the same. Very harmless.
What's that he's got on him?
It's a coronation robe. Have no fear, mademoiselle. He's a very docile potentate.
No, I ain't afraid of him. I'm afraid of you.
It's because you do not know me, mademoiselle. But you are wrong. It is always the unknown you should love.
Oh, I don't like the way you speak to me.
Ah, you are a princess in disguise.
Ah, oh, no fear.
No? What is it then you do to make face against necessities of life?
Huh?
A living.
Oh, sells flowers.
That's not a career.
Oh. You don't know what I really do.
Mademoiselle, whatever you do, it is charming.
Oh, you're a blinking foreigner.
That's true.
What do you do for a living?
I'm an interpreter.
Well, you ain't very busy, are you?
At present, I'm resting.
Oh. How did you and him come here?
Mademoiselle, we would ask you the same question.
The gentleman let me in. He's funny.
C'est un ange.
He's a what?
He's an angel.
Oh. Well, me, my luck's out. That's why I come here.
Kick the foreign blighters out.
Luck? Mademoiselle, shall I tell you your fortune? You were born for la joie de vivre. To drink the wines of life.
Oh.
Et vous voilà. Luck, you were born loving pleasure. Is it not? You see, you really cannot turn off. All of us, we have our fates. Give me your hand. In each of us, there is that against which we cannot struggle, yes?
Then behave yourselves, you ruddy canary birds.
Pay no attention to him, mademoiselle. He's a Puritan.
No, go on. Let go me hand.
That's one thing I've never done to hurt a woman. That's hardly in my character. Tell me, mademoiselle, what is it you think of all day long?
Oh, I don't know. Lots I think so.
Shall I tell you?
Mm-hmm.
It is of the streets, the lights, the faces. It is of all which moves and is warm.
Mm.
It is of color and it is of love.
Mm-hmm.
That is for you what the road is for me. That is for you what the rum is for that old. I kiss you. Darling.
Oh, Daddy.
No. Oh,
Daddy.
All right, I'm coming.
Have no fear, madame.
Yes, my dear.
Look,
what is it?
Daddy, look.
Yes, it happens.
Oh, Daddy, how could you?
He has come, monsieur. Happy Christmas. Bon Noël.
Mouth, Mrs. Meagan. I want to get that expression before the light goes.
Daddy.
Well, my dear?
They've been here a whole week now, these three. Can't we do something about it? I have a note from Canon Berkeley. He's going to bring her husband here this afternoon. Well, that may take care of one.
Oh.
And I met Sir Thomas Hoxton at church this morning and spoke to him about Timpson.
Yes, that'll be another.
I'm going round now, Daddy, to ask Professor Calways what we're to do with that Ferron.
Oh, one each. I wonder if they'll like it.
Well, they'll have to lump it if they don't.
You can shut your mouth now, Mrs. Meagan. Ah, that smile. Now, that's what I want. That's it. There now. Oh, dash, light's gone. Off you get, child. Don't tempt me. Here. You want to have a look? Well, come on now. There you are.
Oh. Oh, it's not a bit like the picture that I had took on the pier.
No, it wouldn't be.
Now, if I had an hat on, I'd look better.
Yeah, with feathers.
Oh, yes, sir.
Yeah, well, you can't. I don't like hats and I don't like feathers. Now, how much do I owe you?
Oh, you paid me for today, sir. All except a penny.
Well, here it is now. Yeah.
Why, sir, you give me half a crown.
Now, cut away now. Cut away home.
All
that's
right.
It.
I've finished washing these here brushes, Governor. It ain't a man's work. You know, I've been thinking, what is how if you keep an horse, I could give you satisfaction.
Afraid not, Timpson. Awfully sorry, though, to nothing better for you than this at present.
Yeah, of course, if you can't afford it, I don't press you. It's only that I feels as I ain't doing myself justice. You know, it's just one thing, sir. Can't bear to see a gentleman imposed on. That there foreigner, he ain't the sort to have about this place.
Oh, indeed?
Yeah. See that girl now? Well, I never did believe in going behind a person's back. I'm Englishman.
Yeah.
But she's a bad actor. Why, look at the street she comes from.
Oh, you know it?
Yeah, knows it. Lived there myself the last 3 years. You see the difference a few days' corn's made in her. Ah, oh, she's that saucy, you can't touch her head.
Come now, Timpson, is there any necessity?
Heartful, too. Full of vice, I calls her. Where's her husband?
Come now, Timpson, you wouldn't like her to...
It ain't for me to say nothing, of course. But I can tell a gentleman as quick as ever I can tell a horse.
Well, you know, I find it safest to assume that every man is a gentleman, every woman a lady. Saves no end of self-content. Here, give me that little brush, Timpson. I can do a little more here.
Would you like me to stay and wash it for you again? I will. I'll do it for you. Never grudge working for a gentleman.
Thank you, Timpson. Very good, I'm sure. Now, let's see. What do I owe you?
Well, it so happens as you advanced me today's yesterday.
Then I suppose you want tomorrow's.
Well, I had to spend it looking for a permanent job. When you got to do with horses, you can't neglect the pubs. You might so well be dead.
Quite so.
It might happen the course of the year.
It would. Well, now, Timpson, this is for an exceptional purpose, see, not for...
Yes, certain cases. I quite understand. There's one thing I ought to warn you, perhaps. I might have to give this here job up any day.
Well, I'd never stand in your way if you're bettering yourself, Timpson. Oh, and by the way, my daughter spoke to a friend about you today, and I think something may come of it.
Ah, she did?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it might do me a bit of good. That foreigner. He sticks in my gizzard. It ain't as if there wasn't plenty of pigeons for him to pluck in his own God-forsaken country. Regular Jay, that's what I calls him. I could tell you something. As I was saying...
Yes, my friend?
Was it you? I was just going.
Well, what luck today, fellow?
Again, I have beaten the pavements of all London, monsieur, but not one bite.
Oh.
I think perhaps that for the bourgeoisie, there's a little too much color in my costume.
Let me see now. I believe I have an old top hat somewhere.
Oh, monsieur, no merci, but that I could not. That's scarcely in my character.
True.
I've been to the merchants of wine, of tobacco, to hotels, to Leicester Square. I've been to a society for spreading Christian knowledge.
Yes?
Yes, I thought there I would have a chance perhaps as interpreter. Mais non. Toujours la même chose. We regret. We have no situation for you. Same thing everywhere. Seems there's nothing doing in this town.
I've noticed there never is.
Ah, you were painting.
Yes.
Daddy?
Oh, yes, Anne. Come in, dear.
Oh, one does not comprehend all this painting, monsieur, without well studying.
Don't take it too seriously, Ferron.
But it's a masterpiece.
Ferron, I've spoken to a friend, Professor Calway. He'd like to meet you. Could you come back a little later?
Well, certainly, mademoiselle. That will be an opening for me, I trust.
And Mrs. Meagan, where's she? Will she, too, come back in half an hour?
Très bien, mademoiselle. I will see that she does. We will take a little promenade together. That will do us both good. She waits outside for me.
Oh, Daddy. They are rotters. They're hopeless, all three. Especially her. I wish I hadn't given her my clothes now.
Something of wild savage.
Well, thank goodness it's the vicar's business to see that married people live together in his parish.
Oh?
Daddy?
Huh?
There were three bottles of rum here on the shelf.
Oh?
Well, now there aren't any.
No, that'll be Timpson.
But it's awful.
It is, my dear, awful.
In 7 days. To say nothing of the stealing.
I blame myself very much, Anne. I ought to have kept it locked up.
You ought to keep him locked up.
Ah, here's the vicar.
What are you going to do about the rum?
Oh, come in, vicar. Come in. Happy New Year.
The same to you. Ah, Anne. I've got in touch with Mrs. Meagan's young husband. He's coming round.
Thank God. Thank Moses.
From what I hear, he's not really a bad youth. A trade he bets on horses. The great thing, Wellen, with these poor fellows is to put your finger on the weak spot.
Well, that's not difficult. What would you do, Canon Berkeley, with a man who's been drinking father's rum?
Remove the temptation, of course.
Oh, he's done that.
Ah, then I should...
Remove him.
Before I say that, Anne, I must certainly see the individual.
I think you'll... Here he is.
Asking your pardon, Governor. Thought it my duty to come back. Found this here little wrist on me.
Nothing else?
No, that'll do, Timpson, thanks. That'll do.
Seeing as how I'm here, can I do anything for you?
Yes. You can sweep out that little room. There's a broom in there.
Oh, certainly. Never makes no bones about a little extra. Never have in all my life. Do it at once, I will. You quite understands me, don't you? Couldn't bear to have anything on me that wasn't mine.
Old fraud.
Mark my words, Anne. He'll restore the bottle.
But my dear Welland, that is stealing.
Now, we all have forgot our discrepancies, Vicar.
Daddy, discrepancies.
Well, Anne, my theory is that as regards solids, Timpson's an individualist. But as regards liquids, he's a socialist. Or vice versa, according to taste. Now, who can that be?
It's a young man, Daddy.
It could be Rory Meagan. Ah, Meagan, come in.
Come in, come in.
This is Mr. Welland. Miss Anne Welland. Now, my boy, how is it that you and your wife are living apart like this?
I don't know.
Well, if you don't, none of us are very likely to, are we?
Well, that's what I thought as I was coming along.
Have some tea, Meagan. What do you think of her picture here? It isn't quite finished.
I seen her look like that once, when she had the measles.
Oh, I see, yes, I quite see. Feverish.
My dear Welland, let me. Now, Meagan, I hope you're willing to come together again and to maintain her.
If she'll maintain me.
Oh, but, I see. You mean you're in the same line of business.
Yes.
And lean on each other.
Yes, quite so, quite so.
I leans on her, mostly, with her looks.
Indeed, very interesting, that.
Yeah. Sometimes she'll take half a crown off of the top.
I apologize, you, Meagan.
Yes, yes. Now, my boy, I've heard you bet on horses.
No, I don't.
Play cards, then. Come, come, don't be afraid to acknowledge it.
When I'm hard up, yes.
But don't you know that that's ruination?
Well, that depends. Sometimes I wins a lot.
You know, that's not at all what I mean. Come now, promise me to give it up.
Well, I don't know about that.
Now, there's a good fellow. Make a big effort and throw the habit off.
Well, it comes over me, same as it might over you.
Over me? How do you mean, my boy?
To talk.
Yeah, hit. But you forget, you know, to talk's my business. It's not yours to gamble.
Well, you try selling flowers. If that ain't a gamble, I don't know what it is.
I'm afraid we're wandering a little bit from the point. Husband and wife should be together. You were brought up to that. Your father and mother...
Never was.
The question is, Meagan, will you take your wife home? Come now, she's a good little soul.
She never let me know it.
Well, now, come. Here she is.
Well, I might, perhaps, to please use her.
Capital! I thought we should get on in time.
Yes.
Mrs. Meagan and Farrell.
Rory.
This begins a new chapter. We won't improve the occasion. No need.
Yeah, come on, let's get out of this.
I'm willing.
Yes, yes. You'd like to get home at once, I know.
I forbid revenge.
Oh. Gracious, I didn't see you, Timpson.
Just cause an impeachment. There he stands, a very foreigner, a mockingjay.
Timpson.
You're a gentleman. I'm aware of that, sir. But I must speak the truth and shame the devil.
Is this the rum?
I'm a teetotaler.
Timpson, now, Timpson.
Seeing what is at this lady's present, I won't be conspicuous. But what I just say is, he ain't no better than she is, and she's worse.
This is very distressing.
Very well. He doubts my word. Will it make any difference, Governor, if I speaks the truth?
No, certainly not. That is, of course, it will.
Well, then, I sees them plainer nor I sees the two of you.
Now, be quiet now, Tim. Not
even her husband believes you.
Don't I?
Come, Meagan. You can see the old fellas in paradise.
Do you credit such an object?
No.
Well, then, my boy...
I seen him myself.
Gracious. But just now you were willing to...
Oh, there wasn't nothing against me honor then. Now you've took it away between you, coming out with it like this. I don't want no more of her, and I'll want a good deal more of him, as he'll soon find. I'm off.
What did I say, Daddy? Utter, all three.
Well, perhaps I'd better go.
Perhaps.
Young people, this is very dreadful. Very sad, Mrs. Meagan.
Meagan's now better than what I am.
Come, come, here's your home broken up. Surely... You mustn't smile. That's better. Now, what is to be done?
Monsieur, I feel that I am in the wrong. It was stronger than me. Monsieur, something tells me it is time I took the road again.
You now, take this.
Oh, no. To abuse hospitality, that's not in my nature.
We must not despair of anyone.
You are now debarrassed of us, monsieur. Au revoir, monsieur. Happy New Year.
Now for station identification. We return you now to Great Plays and the Pigeon by John Galsworthy.
Heavy work, I'm afraid, boys. Here you are. Spend this for me.
Oh, thank you, sir. Much obliged, I'm sure. We'll have to come back for these.
Yeah.
Perhaps you'd like us to leave these here tea things for a bit.
Yes, do.
This ain't half bad for an April 1st job, eh?
Not half it ain't. Come on.
Why, Willard.
Vicar.
It's ages since I saw you. No idea you were moving. This is very dreadful.
Yes, come in, Vicar, come in. Yes, April the 1st, you know, moving day.
Yes.
You see, Anne found this place too exposed. That tall house in Flight Street, we're going there. 7th floor.
A lift?
No.
Oh, dear me, no lift. Fine view, no doubt.
Well,
you'll be greatly missed.
Yes, so Anne thinks. Tell me, Vicar, what's become of that little flower seller I was painting at Christmas? You remember, you... You took her into service.
Well, not we, exactly. Some dear friends of ours. Painful subject.
Oh?
Yes. She and the footman.
Oh, I see.
Disappointing, very. I consulted with Calway, and he advised me to try a certain institution. We got her safely in. Excellent place. But do you know, she broke out there 3 weeks ago. And I've heard since that... hopeless, I'm afraid. Quite.
You know, I thought I saw her last night. You can't tell me her address, I suppose.
No. The husband, too, is quite passed out of my ken. You know, I'm sometimes tempted to believe there's nothing for some of these poor folk but to pray for death.
Good morning, Vicar.
Ah, Anne, I was telling your father of that poor little Mrs. Meagan.
Is she dead?
Worse, I fear.
Oh.
By the way, what became of her accomplice?
We haven't seen him since. At least... Have you, Daddy?
No, my dear, I have not.
And the old gentleman who drank the rum?
He got 14 days. It was the 5th time.
Dear me.
And when he came out, he got more drunk than ever.
Indeed.
He was perfectly sober all the time he was there.
My dear, they only allow them milk.
Well, anyway, he was reformed.
Yes.
Daddy, you've been seeing him.
No, my dear, I have not.
How do you know that?
Came across to Thomas in the embankment yesterday. He told me old Tenson been had up again for sitting down in front of a brewer's dray.
Why?
Well, you see, as soon as he came out of the, what do you call him, he got drunk for a week and it left him in low spirits.
Do you mean he deliberately sat down with the intention of...
Yes, said he was tired of life, but they didn't believe him.
Did he really?
He belongs in a lethal chamber.
And yet some good in the old fellow, no doubt, if one could put one's finger on it. You let us know then when you're settled. What was the address?
Here, it's on this card.
Ah, yes. Goodbye, Anne. Goodbye, Welland.
Goodbye, Vicar.
Good idea, these cards, yes, with your address printed on them.
Daddy, have you told those others where we're going?
Well, Anne, naturally, I...
Oh, dear. When I'm trying to get you away from this atmosphere, Oh, I don't so much mind the vicar knowing, but...
Oh, I felt there was something, yeah.
I'm going round now, but you must stay here until after the van comes back. And don't forget, you tip the men after the first load.
Oh, yes, yes. Good sorts they look, those fellows.
What have you done?
Nothing, my dear, really, not...
What?
Well, I rather think I may have tipped them twice.
Daddy, if it is the 1st of April, it's not necessary to make a fool of oneself. As soon as I've got you away from here and all these...
Now, don't rub it in, Anne.
Deeds, not words, Daddy. Goodbye, Daddy.
Goodbye, Anne. I'm a bad lot, low type. No Methodist, no theory. Yes? Yes, come in.
Farrell. Enchanted to see you, monsieur.
Glad to see you, too. But you look badly. I'll go with it.
As you see, monsieur, I've done my best. It still flies from me.
Farrell, it will always fly.
Don't say that, monsieur. It's too much the echo of my heart.
Forgive me. I didn't mean to pain you.
That old cabby, monsieur, you remember him. Teamson.
Yeah.
They tell me he nearly succeeded to gain happiness the other day.
Yes, so I've heard.
Monsieur, while I was on the road this time, I fell ill of a fever. It seemed to me in my illness that I saw the truth. How I was wasting in this world. I would never be good for anyone or anyone for me. All would go by and I never of it. Fame and fortune and peace, even the necessities of life ever mocking me. And so, monsieur, I wished to die. I told no one of my fever. They took me to an institution, monsieur.
Yes?
I looked in their eyes while I lay there, and I saw, more clear than the blue heaven, that they thought it best that I should die, although they would not let me. Then, monsieur, naturally, my spirit rose, and I said, I will live a little more. One is made like that. Life is sweet, monsieur.
Yes, pardon. Life is sweet.
That little girl you had here, monsieur, Mrs. Meegan, in her, too, there is something of wild savage. I've seen her since I came back.
Yes?
She is lost, monsieur, as a stone that sinks in water. I can see if she cannot.
What?
Oh, I'm not to blame for that. It had well begun before I knew her.
Yes, yes, I was afraid of it at the time.
I do my best for her, monsieur, but I'm not good for her. It's not good for simple souls to be with those who... can see things clear. For the great part of mankind, to see anything is fatal.
Even for you, it seems.
Since I saw you, monsieur, I have been in 3 institutions. They are palace, but one little thing they lack. It is understanding of the human heart. Inside them, tame birds pluck wild birds naked.
They mean well.
Monsieur, I'm a loafer. I'm a waster. What you like. For all that... poverty is my only crime. If I were rich, should I not be simply very original, highly respected, with soul above commerce, traveling to see the world? Eh? Eh bien, what am I now? Dark beast, despised by all. That is life, monsieur.
We are our own enemies, Ferrand. I can afford a new count. It's quite true.
Monsieur, do you know this? You are the sole being that can do us good. We hopeless ones.
Not a bit of it. I'm hopeless, too.
No, monsieur, it is just that. You understand. If I had one prayer to make, it would be, good God, give me to understand. Without that, monsieur, all is dry as a parched skin of an orange.
Don't be so bitter, Ferrand. Think of all the work they do.
Monsieur, of their industry, I say nothing. But, monsieur, when all is done, there are always us hopeless ones. What can they do with me, with that girl, or with that old man? Monsieur, they waste their time trying to make rooks white. Be kind to us, if you will, or let us alone like Miss Anne. But do not try to change our skins. Leave us to live, or leave us to die when we like... in the free air. If you do not wish of us, you have but to shut your pockets and your doors, and we shall die the faster.
But that you know we can't do, now can we, Ferrand?
If you cannot, how is it our fault? The harm we do to others, is it so much? If I'm a criminal, dangerous, shut me up. I would not pity myself, never. But we in whom something moves like that flame, monsieur. We cannot keep still. I ask your pardon. I'm talking. If I could smoke, monsieur.
Yes. Here's tobacco and paper.
The good God made me so that I would rather walk a whole month of nights hungry with the stars than sit one single day making round business on an office stool. I cannot help it that I'm a vagabond. Monsieur, I say to you things I have never said.
What's that?
Monsieur, it's that little girl, Mrs. Meegan.
What happened, Constable? What happened?
Attempted suicide, sir. But she hadn't been in the water half a minute when I got hold of her. Can't understand a collapse and like this.
Oh, no.
Here, you cut off for a doctor. Yeah, stop now.
Now
then, stand away, dear, please. We can't have you around the body. Keep back. Clear out.
The rum. Get it, monsieur. The rum. Oh, her soul is still away, monsieur.
You'd never drown in, sir. Her head was hardly under. I was onto her like a knife.
She has not yet her philosophy, monsieur. At the beginning, they often try. If she is dead, what fortune?
True enough, sir, that. We had just begun to know her. If she has been taken, her best friends couldn't wish her better.
Poor little thing. I'll try this hot tea.
Le grand ami.
Look at her. She's coming round.
Oh, that's brave. Good lass. She'll pick up now, sir. Now then, get out, all of you.
Come on now, get out. Go on,
there you are, my dear. There. Now, better now? That's right. Now, drink a little more of this tea.
Bring her to the fire, monsieur.
Here, come. Come over here. Feeling better, my child?
Yes, sir.
That's good. Now, how was it?
I didn't seem no good to myself nor anyone. But when I got in the water, I didn't want to anymore. It was so cold in there.
Have you been having such a bad time?
Yes, sir. I feel better now I have been in the water.
There now. You're shivering. Come on now. Like to walk up and down a little? Come now, lean on me.
That.
It's beastly when your head goes under.
Yes, it frightened me. I thought I wouldn't never come up no more.
I know. Sort of world without end, wasn't it?
Yes, sir.
And what did you think of?
I wished I hadn't jumped, and I thought of my baby that died, and I thought of dancing.
Oh, my dear child, now don't think of such things.
They used to look at me like that sometimes, where I was before I ran away, and I couldn't stop there, you know.
No, too cooped up.
Yes, no life at all it wasn't, not after sending flares it wasn't. I'd rather be doing what I am.
Well, it's all over now. How do you feel, Ed? Better?
Yes, thank you, sir. I feel all right now.
No shivers and no aches and quite comfy?
Thank you, sir.
That's a blessing. All well now, Constable, thank you.
First rate, sir. That's capital. Right as rain, eh, me girl?
Yes.
That's fine. Then I think perhaps for her sake, sir, the sooner we move on and get her a change of clothing, the better.
Oh, no. Don't bother about that. I'll send on for my daughter. We'll manage for her here.
Very kind of you, I'm sure, sir. But she seems all right. She'll get every attention at the station.
I assure you, we don't mind at all. We'll take the greatest care.
Well, sir, of course. I'm thinking of... I'm afraid I can't depart from the usual course.
What? No, Constable. That'll be all right. I assure you.
I'll have to charge her, sir.
Good Lord, you don't mean to say the poor little thing has got to be...
Well, sir, we can't get over the facts, can we? There it is. You know what suicide amounts to. It's an awkward job.
But look here, Constable. As a reasonable man, this poor wretched little girl, you know what that kind of life means better than anyone. Why, it's to her credit to try and jump out of it. You said yourself her best friends couldn't wish her better.
Mm-hmm,
everybody feels that now. The vicar was here only a few months ago saying the very same thing. The vicar, Constable. No, look here. I know something awful. Nothing can be done with her. We all admit that. Well, hang it, you.
You needn't go and make fools of us all by...
Monsieur, it's the 1st of April.
You can't neglect me duty, sir. That's impossible.
Come, Constable, there's a good fellow. Maybe the making of this.
I quite appreciate your good art, sir. And you make it very odd for me. But come now. I put it to you as a gentleman. Would you go back on your duty if you was me?
Well, heavens above. Not a soul in the world wants her alive. And now she's to be prosecuted for trying to be what everyone wishes her.
Oh, do not grieve, monsieur. This will give her courage. There's nothing that gives more courage than to see the irony of things. Go, 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 my child. It will do you good.
That's me good, Lassus. Come along now. We won't hurt you.
Oh, I don't want to go. They'll stare at me.
Not they. I'll see to that.
Here, take her in a cab, Constable, if you must. Here, I'll pay.
I will, sir, certainly. Don't think I want to...
No, I know. You're a good sort.
Don't you take on, sir. It's her first try. They won't be hard on her. Come, my dear.
What is it? What's happened, Daddy?
It's nothing, mademoiselle. It's Mrs. Meekin. She has failed to drown herself. They run her in a little.
Lend her your jacket, my dear. She'll catch your death.
Thank you, miss. That's very good of you, I'm sure.
Oh, thank you, miss. Oh, it's warm.
Ah, that makes the third of us, monsieur. We are not in luck. To wish us dead, it seems, is easier than to let us die.
Here, Ferron, quick. Take this card. Run after her. When they've done with her, tell her to come to us.
Number 7, Haven House, Flight Street.
Yes.
Rely on me, monsieur. I will bring her myself and call on you. Au revoir, mon bon, monsieur. Yes.
What? You, Timpson? You're still here?
On me last leg, sir. Here, let me see him for yourself. Should trouble you long.
No, not now, Timpson, not now. Take this card. Some other time.
What? Your new address? Oh, blimey, you are a gentleman.
Daddy, do you know what you've done? Given your card to each of those rotters.
What?
What was the good of this moving?
And it is stronger than me.
This is the last of it, sir. We make it all this trip, sir.
Oh, yes. Here now, take this. There you are.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Boys, you can finish the decanter.
Oh, third time of asking. April Fool, not off. Good old pigeon.
Human being, I calls him.
That's right. Tell you what, I'd never have touched this bottle unless he told me to, I wouldn't. Not with him.
Get out of that.
Here you are. Here, this is a bit of all right.
Well, good luck.
Same here. Crikey. Bill. T. He's got us.
Listening to a production of The Pigeon, a play by John Galsworthy, adapted for radio by Richard Moranis. Our play today featured Mr. Whitford Kane, the creator of the character Wellen, in the original production of this play in London in 1912. Anne was played by Joy Harrington, Mrs. Meegan by Ara Gerald, Rory Meegan, Horace Braham, Timson, Eustace Wyatt, Ferrand, Gerald Henry, the Vicar, Harry Neville, Constable, Roland Hogue, Daisy, Phoebe Mackay, First Humbleman, William Podmore, Second Humbleman, Gordon White. The music for this production was especially composed by Ernie Watson and conducted by Joseph Honte. Next week at this time, the Great Plays series of the National Broadcasting Company presents an original radio drama dealing with the development of drama and the stage during the late 17th century in England, known as the Restoration Period. The Great Plays drama guide by Blevins Davis, who arranged for the series, is available to our radio audience at the cost of 25 cents. Send coin or money order to Great Plays, National Broadcasting Company, New York City. The Great Plays Drama Guide contains the summary of the plot, a sketch of the author's life, and pertinent facts about each of the 30 plays in this series. Consult your local library for reading material on the remaining great plays of this series. This program has been presented as a public service of the National Broadcasting Company and the independent radio stations associated with the NBC networks and came to you from the RCA building, Radio City, New York.